Hello, this is Joe Tomalin for Fringe Review, speaking to a comedian. So please introduce yourself.
My name's Rowan Candapa. I'm a writer and a performer, and I'm bringing a show up to Edinburgh called One Starts in a Barber's, One Starts in a Bar.
And what genre of show is it?
Well, it's a mixture because it's a double bill. I think the closest to say is it's half of it's spoken word and half of it is a very small play. So I'm doing half of the first half, which is a story set in a barber's, and then the second half is an actor, Kat Cleave, who's performing a monologue that I've written for a mid-20s woman. So it's two contrasting halves, two very different styles. The first half is funny and the second half is quite moving, all within 50 minutes.
So when you say funny, we're talking about humour, but there's different types of humour. What type of humour is yours?
Well, it's really... it's talking about things that people might recognise. So, I mean, the premise of it is... It starts off with me remembering what it was like to go into a barber shop for the first time when I was a small boy, and the strange world that you encounter when you do that, because it's an all-male environment, which is unusual, and they're not your family, and you don't really understand the conversations that are going on, but you know it's kind of important grown-up man stuff. So it's about entering into that world as a kid, and then also sort of reflections on what it's like getting your hair cut when you're an adult and how some things have changed and some things are exactly the same. So that's the sort of humorous side. The second piece is really a much more theatrical monologue. It starts off with a character, a woman in a bar, being chatted up by a bloke with the line, "And you are?" And then she realises she doesn't really know how to answer the question, so it's where she kind of goes into her head with that. So the two halves are very sort of contrasting in style, content, performers, and they seem to complement each other.
So have you always done this, or did you do other things before writing?
No, because... I worked in as a copywriter in advertising for quite a while, and then for about 10 years I wrote books and ended up having, I worked out recently, 16 books published, sold over 1 million copies. You don't make as much money as you'd think from selling 1 million copies of books. It doesn't set you up for life. So I did that for a while.
And what kind of books?
Well, they started off being humorous books. So the first one, the most successful book, was a book called The Little Book of Stress, which was essentially a book of advice about how to get more stress in your life. So, because my theory was everyone needed more stress. Actually, where it started from was, it was there was a book at the time which was called The Little Book of Calm, which is, you know, sold loads of copies, and it had sold 1 million copies in this country. And I thought, that doesn't sound very British, you know. But, so I thought someone should do a parody of it. And that's where it kind of started. So my book was essentially a book of bad advice. So advice like... always put empty milk cartons back in the fridge as a great way to generate stress in others and yourself. And it kind of went on from there. So there were 16 books, mainly humorous, and towards the end they got a bit more serious in themes, but there was always some kind of sense of humour going through it all.
As someone who is working in humour,
yes,
what are the main elements that a performer needs to either learn or they need to have an innate sense of to be able to carry this off effectively? What in your opinion, would they be?
Well, I mean, I can only speak for myself, because I think what I do is storytelling, essentially. And the way that the humour works for me is that it kind of... If you can do things that people relate to, if you can talk about incidents or situations that people can relate to, then you've established a connection. And if you can find some kind of humour in it, that makes it people listen differently, and it establishes a kind of connection between you and them. I mean, this is my fourth year up in Edinburgh doing the Fringe. 3 years I did the Free Fringe, and the first year I came up, I never really performed before, and it was a bit of a shot in the dark. But I'd had an experience of being made redundant by a company, or a company wanted to make me redundant, and I wrote a show about that, and no one knew who I was up here, so I didn't think anyone would turn up, but they did. But what I worked out was that I had a really great title for that show. Can I swear on this? So the title for the show was How I Said Fuck You to the Company When They Tried to Make Me Redundant. And I think on the basis of that title alone, there was enough people out there who thought, I want to hear this. And they turned up, and it was, you know, they laughed at the funny bits. But when I was writing that, I wanted I wanted to be honest about what it was like to be made redundant, because I know I can write to make things funny, but if you're going through that experience, or if you've been through it, or you know someone who has gone through it, hardly any of it is funny. So I wanted to be honest. I wanted to talk about how small you feel, and how, as a man, how emasculated you feel, and how, you know, just things like, you know, having to ring my wife at 11 o'clock in the morning saying, I'm coming home from the office. Why? And, you know, and that phone call. So that level of honesty, and I think that's what reconnected with people. And there was another part of that. Well, there was one word I used in that show, which is, I could see people in the audience kind of, it, you know, went like a electric shock through something. It was, the word was essentially, I talked about when you're made redundant, there's a feeling of shame. And I could see people hearing the word shame thinking, oh, not just me then. People who'd been through that experience. And I was really gratified that the connection was made doing this kind of show. So that's why I thought, well, maybe there's a chance for me to do this, to explore it more. That piece was quite, it got quite emotional in the end. And but the stuff I'm doing now, my half is funny. I wanted to do something funny, so that was the barbershop piece. But Kat's piece, I suppose I could tap into the emotions again, because it's an emotional story she's telling. The other thing I'm really interested in is in how simple a piece of storytelling can be. So, you know, what I do doesn't sound very exciting, because I sit with a desk with a pile of papers and I read out what's on the papers. And that doesn't sound engaging or thrilling or exciting, but it really depends what you've written. And if what you've written strike a chord with people and they can relate to it and it sets them going off in their own mind somewhere, then you're in with a chance. So, and then Kat's piece again is really simple. It's her just talking. And part of that has come from I've got this thought that, you know, sometimes you can, you know, if you sat down on a park bench and a random person next to you starts telling you a bit about their life, and it can be riveting, right? And on the same day, you can go to a movie and see a film that's cost $100 million to make, and within the first 2 minutes, you're bored out of your brain. So how can someone sitting on a bench be compelling and something where they've spent all that money on bore you? And it's, I think, to do about making a connection, telling a story, being honest. That's what seems to work for me. There's a lot of a lot of truth in what I'm doing. And I think people listen differently if you're telling them the truth, because often they can relate to it, or they can understand where you're coming from. The other thing I've kind of realized is that if you're telling a story, making things specific make it real. But if the underlying situations are universal, that's where you kind of connect with people. And if you combine those two things, you know, the universal situation with the specifics of your own particular story, it kind of comes together and it works in a much more sort of coherent whole way. And then, you know, put jokes in there as well, and you know, you're in with a shot. And that's what hopefully we're trying to do with the show that we're doing out here now.
And getting back to the actual performance rather than the writing, how do you discover how to use your voice or the timing or gestures or a quick look at the audience or away? How does that come about? Because there's a lot of different things that you use. And how do they become instilled, or do you study that, or do you try it different every night?
I think the main thing I've learned from is actually just doing it in front of people and figuring out which bits work and which bits don't, when what works for you. Sometimes, you know, I realise I've grown up watching on TV great storytellers, right? So, and then I will go back and watch them. So, you know, before coming up here, I was looking at, there's a comedian called Dave Allen, right, the Irish comedian. He, you know, just, if anyone wants to know how to tell a story, just look him up on YouTube and just watch what he does, and watch, you know, keep watching it. And his mastery is incredible. And there was Ronnie Corbett, when he used to be in the Two Ronnies, he used to do that thing where he sits in a big chair and just tells a story, and it all looks like he's making it up as he goes along, with all the kind of stumbling and going off at tangents. But if you watch it, and he does, you know, more than one of them, you know, he knows what he's doing. He's worked it out. So watching people who are brilliant like that, you can't help but, if you're open to it, pick stuff up. But to be honest, the main thing is just doing it and learning as I go along. So, like, for a long time, I was performing in rooms that weren't particularly theatrically lit. So there was flat lighting, you could see the whole audience. And what I learned was, because I'm just telling stories, people are listening, and there's no natural cues that they give when they're listening. So I would look up and I would think they look bored out of their brains because no one's doing anything, right? If you put a joke in there, if you get a laugh, you know that's work. But if you're just talking, and it would throw me. So I would, whenever I would look up, I would try and make sure I could see someone who seemed to be nodding along. And whenever I looked up, I would look at them, right, just for the encouragement. But then what I found out was afterwards, I'd get to talk to people, and the people who I thought were bored out of their brains weren't. They were just listening. And there's nothing a lot of people do with their face when they're listening. So I learned not to be thrown by that. I'm sure there were some people who were bored out of their brains, but it's by doing it, I kind of learned some of it. I'm not, I don't know all of it. I don't think I ever will know all of it. I think you learn as you go along. I think you adjust to different audiences. You figure out what works for them. So it's mainly doing it and being willing to admit your mistakes and not being saying, oh, well, they didn't understand that, they're idiots. You know, if you tell a joke twice and no one laughs, it's not the audience, the joke doesn't work. And then you have to throw it away. And that's often quite hard when you've written something you really like. But if it doesn't work in front of an audience, it doesn't work. And you have to make that decision. Well, do I stick with it because I think I'm right? Or do I tailor it because I'm actually trying to put on a performance that entertains people? And I think, once you look at it in those terms, it's fairly obvious what you've got to do. You've got to make it work because people are coming to see you.
Well, thank you very much for taking the time to speak to us this afternoon. And I wish you the best of luck in the run.
Thanks very much. I hope everyone out there has a great Fringe. There's loads of great shows to see.